time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it.
All about control,
and if you can take it.
All about your debt,
and if you can pay it.
It's all about pain,
and who's gonna make it.
I am the game,
you don't wanna play me.
I am control,
no way you can shake me.
I am heavy debt,
no way you can pay me.
I am the pain,
and I know you can't take me.
Look over your shoulder,
ready to run,
like a cleaning bitch
from a smoking gun.
I am the game,
and I make the rules. So move on out, you can die like a fool.
TFA fam, welcome into the Fantasy Authority Podcast. That's right, I said podcast. Obviously, we have been neglecting you listeners. You know, we haven't even done a good job of ripping the audio from our YouTube videos and throwing it on here. But, you know, it's something we have missed doing. So we're going to be bringing the podcast back for the 2023 fantasy football offseason and throughout the season. Just to, you know, just to shoot the shit a little more, Kev. We've obviously been trying to do the YouTube thing, and we're, you know, structured. We feel like we've got to get our points across. We're just going to let it flow, man. We're just going to let the hair hang. Going to put on something nice and comfy. Just going to do our thing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. It's been a while since we've just done the normal podcast style, right? Like, that's where we started. It was always a podcast, and then we jumped over to the YouTube side because that's where things are heading. And, you know, we started just putting our YouTube videos on here, but I feel like that it's not as personable on the podcast, because on YouTube, you're trying to get it, you know, your point out as quickly as possible, get the video done as quickly as possible, because video, you know, time matters. Not that we want to have 2 or 3 hour long podcasts like we used to back in the day, but still, it is
something
nice
in between.
Yeah, it is nice to be able to just come on and just enjoy ourselves, get some guests on here, start talking, you know, get out the Rolodex again of all the guests that we can get on here. You know, maybe to get some big names or even small guys, you know, talk about. Hey, we're at the beginning of this. You know, the 2023 season is not, or 2022 season is not officially over. Obviously, the Super Bowl has not happened yet. That is next week with the Eagles and the Chiefs. That should be a good game. But we figured it'd be a good point to start talking about the 2023 free agents that we are going to have coming up. It's kind of a awkward class. Like, I feel like the running backs, there's some really good names there, but then the wide receivers are kind of a bunch of wide receiver twos and threes and fours. Like, there's no elite wide receiver here. And I think we might be more accurate to be looking at possible trades through the wide receiver market, because there are a lot of teams that could really use a wide receiver. But first off, let's just talk about the news, right? We got some news this week coming up. Tom Brady, he's going to retire. Like, he put out on the beach today. Decided to post that he's retiring, and he says for good this time. So we'll see on that. I know everybody's already saying there's no shot, he'll be back in a month. I don't know. Like, I don't know how you feel about it, but I kind of feel like there's no reason for him to do this now. Like, last year he did it and he was still under contract with the Bucs, I believe, last year, whenever he did that. And so there was a lot of other stuff going on. Like, I just don't think there's any motivation for him to like just come back out of retirement again. And so I think this is for real this time. I think there's other lying issues there, but I think this is probably for real. What do you think?
I mean, I think so. But that was literally my response. Someone dropped that in the Discord earlier this morning about him retiring. And I was just like, all right, like we'll see. But, and then someone also noted, I forget who it was on Twitter, noted that this was the same date that they announced it last year as well. So, but yeah, I think this should be it, right? Like, it's not like he played all that well. Like, that offense for the large majority of the year was hashtag not good, right? So, like, I think it should be for good, but who knows? And it kind of just sucks, because I was thinking about it earlier. It was like, because we already went through this, like, literally just last year, it's like kind of hard to be like, man, the GOAT, you know, one of the best to ever do it. Like, I feel like that kind of like blemished this whole part of, you know, like his actual retirement, to like where I'm just like, ah, Do we even need to talk about it? Who cares? We'll see if he's actually staying retired. But yeah, man, I think it's for good, but we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. So we also have Sean Payton, who was traded to the Denver Broncos for their 2023 first-round pick. That was the pick they got from Miami in the Bradley
San
Chubb
Francisco.
Trade. Yeah, from San Francisco. And they also got a 2024 second-round pick the Saints did in that trade for Sean Payton. It's going to be interesting how this works out. I know there's a lot of people that think this is going to be great for Russell Wilson, and I think that's largely going to depend on if Russell Wilson is actually washed or not. He actually started to play really well down the stretch over the last 4 weeks of the season. I think he was the top 10 quarterback over the last 4 weeks of the year. But I also think Sean Payton's a little overrated. I think people like value him as like this elite coach. We don't really know. He's only because like with Drew Brees, a Hall of Fame quarterback, he was excellent. But without him, he was not very good as a coach. And he walked away. And so we'll see. I'm not saying that Sean Payton's terrible, but I also feel like people overvalue Sean Payton a little bit. Like he is this messiah and like he is going to come in and this team is going to be a Super Bowl contender and they're just not. But I think it's interesting. I don't really love the fact that they had to give up so much that now they're trading away both their first round picks because they also gave their other first round pick in the Russell Wilson trade to the Seattle Seahawks. So that's a top five pick, I believe, that's gone. And then now this pick is gone and their second round pick next year is also gone to do this. And so if it doesn't work out, like you just gave up a massive amount for Russell Wilson and Sean Payton and it didn't work. So we will see on that.
Yeah, it reeks of desperation to me, right? Like you just sunk all that money into Russ, did not work out. Like I remember at the beginning of the season, I think maybe except for the Raiders, I think every team in the AFC West had a double-digit win total, you know, according to sports books. And I think the Raiders were like just underneath it at like 9.5. But after that trade, man, like we all thought this was just gonna be, you know, team sex for us and that everything was gonna take off. And the pieces are still there. So I mean we'll see what ends up happening with Peyton. But this just feels like you said, like if this doesn't work out, my God.
Yeah, I mean, you just run everybody out of there because it's going to be all bad. Because Russell Wilson's under contract for a long time. Like, there's really not much. If they want to eat like $80 million, $90 million in dead cap, sure, it's probably not going to happen. I mean, it's years down the line before they can get out of this contract. So, I guess you have to do what you got to do to try to make that investment work. But we'll see. You know, Sean Payton, I think he's a good coach, but I just think people think that he is this, like, just an elite level coach. And I don't know if we should be giving him that kind of credit whenever he was with Drew Brees' entire career. So lastly, we have Aaron Rodgers' watch that we're going to have to suffer through again this year. Aaron Rodgers will wait. He says a few more weeks to make his decision on his future. I think he's going to play. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's just waiting it out. And then because it also sounds like the Packers are ready to move on as well. We'll see if that's a good choice. Yeah. I know Jordan Love and what, a half of football or even less than that, whatever it was. I think it was a half against the Eagles. He looked good, but we'll see. I think the Jets would be an actually good spot for him to go to. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that the Jets are going to be a team that, you know, we can kind of just roll right into the free agency preview and start off with the quarterbacks. But I think the Jets are going to be a team that is like consistently linked to these veterans and guys that are out there. So obviously we have Lamar Jackson, Daniel Jones, Jimmy G, Geno Smith, and then, you know, some underlying guys like Drew Locke, Tyler Huntley, Taylor Heineke, Andy Dalton, Sam Darnold, and then the Aaron Rodgers trade watch to pay attention to as well. So obviously, Lamar Jackson is the crown jewel here. He could be slapped with the franchise tag as well. So interesting for these guys that represent themselves, right? They're going into these negotiations. Like I always wonder, like what that dynamic is whenever these kind of things pop up. But outside of that, like Daniel Jones, you know, the report came out today that the Giants GM said they want to keep him. With Jimmy G, I think a lot of people are going to make that connection to the Jets because of the connection with Robert Saleh. So, I mean, we'll have to see here. But, I mean, what are your thoughts as far as the this free agent class as a whole? Is there like anyone you're excited about? Is there like a fit that you have that you want to see anybody go to that you think would just be good for fantasy or just for overall football reasons?
I think the two that stand out the most would be Daniel Jones and Geno Smith. Because, I mean, Geno Smith played really, really well this year. So did Daniel Jones. Like Daniel Jones was really good this year. Now that, like, the passing numbers weren't significant, 3,200 passing yards, 15 touchdowns. But, I mean, he was first in true completion percentage, 15th in deep ball completion percentage, 11th in pressure completion percentage, and third in red zone completion percentage this year. He was also 7th in QBR and 10th in EPA and 11th in EPA per dropback. Like, he was really good this year. And he did that with probably the worst weapons you possibly could think of. Like,
it was bad.
Kenny Golladay is dead. Sterling Shepard got hurt early in the year, like he always does.
Again.
You know, Wandale Robinson lasted about half the year. They traded Kadarius Tony to the Chiefs. And so, like, they had nobody there. I mean, they were literally over the last part of the season running out there with Isaiah Hodgins, who on, I believe, the Bills earlier in the year. He comes in, and they have Richie James, who's a career journeyman, and then you have Darius Slayton, who's never really taken off. And those are the guys that he had, and a rookie tight end. Like, there was nobody there for him to utilize outside of Saquon Barkley. And so the fact that Brian Daboll was able to get that much out of him, I think if they can really invest in some wide receivers, their offensive line starting to come together with Evan Neal and Andrew Thomas. Like, this is a team I think is ascending, and Brian Daboll should be, in my mind, the coach of the year. What he was able to do with that roster, get them into the playoffs. And, you know, I think he really got the most out of it. And so I think Daniel Jones, I think, is a smart move for the Giants to bring back. Now, I don't think he deserves some, you know, some 6-year, you know, $100+ million contract. I think maybe I would at least maybe even look at franchise tagging him because I think then that gives you another year to kind of evaluate him because this is really the first year that he's really looked good. Now, he's flashed in other parts of the seasons, you know, in previous years, but this, I think, could be a really good base to start with. They have Wandale Robinson they can work with. I think, you know, you look at this rookie class, maybe they draft a guy, and possibly maybe they make a trade. We know DeAndre Hopkins, we'll talk about, is available through trade. Maybe they look to bring somebody like that in, you know, make a move like that, and you surround him with weapons. I think Daniel Jones could actually be a serviceable quarterback. I don't think he's going to be some elite-level guy, but, I mean, he did rush for 700 yards this year, which is kind of crazy. We'll also have to see what they're going to do with Saquon Barkley there. But I think if you just put some weapons around him, I think he's a really good spot for them to bring him back because it's kind of barren past that, right? Like, you have Geno, which I think will probably go back to the Seahawks as well. But I don't love Jimmy G. Like, I know people, like, are all about, like, team wins and all this stuff, which is such a terrible stat to utilize for any quarterback. And same thing with Brock Purdy that everybody talked about. Like, it's just stupid to me, that stat. But, like, Jimmy G is, like, a fine bridge quarterback. Like, you want to – If you're a team that you have, you can draft a rookie quarterback this year, you want to bring Jimmy G in for a one-year deal, fine, do that. But I think overall, like, he's not the guy that I want to harness my team to because he's just not that guy. He's not. He was largely carried in the Kyle Shanahan scheme with not just great weapons but an elite defense almost every single year. If you put him on a team with a bad defense, like, he's not going to be the guy that's going to get it done for you. So for me, like, the rookie or the free agent class, like, there's just not a lot. I think Daniel Jones probably goes back to the Giants. Lamar Jackson remains on the Ravens. And I think Geno Smith probably goes back to the Seahawks, whether that's on a one-year deal or not. But the rest of these guys, I mean, I think that they're just going to be backup somewhere that are available. I think Aaron Rodgers is probably the big trade chip for the teams that, like, the Jets, they're desperately going to need a quarterback. I think you have to look at the Raiders as a team because they were all in on the Tom Brady market. And if Tom Brady's retired, then they would be a team with a logical fit. And obviously they have the fit there with Davante Adams. But how much more draft capital can you continue to give up to make all this work there? And yeah. And they're also still going to have – I guess Derek Carr is also a name we have to talk about. He's definitely getting traded team. But I don't even know. Like, Derek Carr is such a mid quarterback too. Like, he's – that's all he is. He's mid. Like, there's people that love Derek Carr and think he's better than he is, but he's not. He's in the same bucket as a Kirk Cousins and guys like that. He is a – average to slightly above average quarterback that in the right situation can do well, but he's not a guy that's going to take you to a Super Bowl. And so for fantasy football purposes, like, he's just a mid. He's very mid. And so this year, there's a lot of teams that are going to look for a quarterback, but we also have, you know, the draft that's coming and CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, Bryce Young, all those guys. So like teams like the Texans and the Colts, that's probably the avenue they're going to go down, is take one of those rookie quarterbacks. But like I said, I mean, you have the Falcons who are going to have to make a decision. You have Desmond Ridder at quarterback. Are they going to ride with him for another year? The Raiders, the Bucks are going to need a quarterback now. What are they going to do? The Saints, are they going to roll with Jameis? So there's a lot of question marks here, but I don't think there's a lot of answers in terms of free agency, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Washington, another team that is going to be looking. Apparently, they're out there telling that, you know, the OCs and the coaches that they're looking at, that Sam Howell is QB1, which I'm here for. I'm here to see that. But I did want to mention this at the top, and I forgot about it. And I know, like, with the cap space and, you know, the salary cap is a myth and all that, but I do think it's worth noting the teams that are, like, above and beyond in terms of cap space on both sides of it. So first off, the Chicago Bears have the most cap space by far. They have almost $40 million in cap space compared to the next team, which is the Atlanta Falcons. The New York Giants are actually third in cap space, so that makes them interesting. You know, if they wanted to go after like a Lamar Jackson, potentially. The Patriots are fourth, and the Texans are fifth in cap space. And interestingly, the Cincinnati Bengals are sixth, right behind there. And then just the five bottom teams. So we have, I think, 13 teams that are over the cap for next year. And a lot of these teams are just going to restructure, you know, I mean, one, make a cut here and there, and they're going to end up being fine. But at the very bottom, at 32, is the New Orleans Saints. They are $57 million over the cap right now. That is $25 million more than the next team, which I found was interesting, was actually the Jacksonville Jaguars are 31st in cap space. And a lot of that is with the names and the spending spree that they went on last year. Tampa Bay Bucks, Tennessee Titans, and the Minnesota Vikings are the next teams that are down there at the bottom. Buffalo Bills, Los Angeles Chargers, and the Packers, which, you know, if they move on from Aaron Rodgers, a lot of that will be cleared up. So I did just want to throw that out as, you know, as we're talking about some of these teams, talking about, you know, who's going to go where and who's going to sign. A lot of this will be finagled, and, you know what I mean, they'll do the loopholes they always do. But that's frankly why the Saints are in the trouble that they're in now, because they were in the same position last year. And now, like I said, they are $57 million over the cap going into 2023. So just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, and I don't know why they don't, like, the Saints, like, just don't blow this thing up. You know, like, get out of all this money. Like, just could go into a complete rebuild. You have no quarterback. Like, you have an aging Alvin Kamara. And, you know, you just don't have a lot of great assets right now. And I know their defense, they have pieces on their defense and stuff like that. But I think it's time for them to probably just blow that thing up, get, you know, clear everything out, get out from under this cap hell, this cap Olympics. And you are right. For the most part, the cap is kind of a myth. Like, I mean, they did it last year. I think they were like $70 or $80 million over the cap last year, and they got it under. Like, that's exactly what's going to continue to happen. And, you know, these teams will be able to, you know, get through this. And, but, you know, some of these teams, I think, are just dumb. Like, you know, I guess this is a good time, but we could probably jump over to the running backs, because I think there's not a whole lot left to talk about at quarterback. But like this year, like Zeke Elliott, like Jerry Jones, I guess, said that they are planning to bring him back for 2023. And I'm like, why? Like, I get it. They would have to eat like $10 million this year. But like, he is clearly washed, Jerry. Like, he is clear. He looks like a fullback out there trying to play running back. Like, it's. And you can now you're going to pay them. And if they don't do anything like restructure or anything like that, they're going to pay them $16.5 million this year. Yet they traded away Amari Cooper for a fifth round pick or whatever ridiculous thing they gave him away was. Like, it's just bad team building. And this is not what we should be doing. And I know it's tough because you have a guy like Saquon Barkley this year who was fantastic this year. Saquon Barkley was excellent this year. Over 1,300 rushing yards, which was a career high. 338 receiving yards, 10 total touchdowns on a team that was, you know, not a great offense like we just talked about. But, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with it. Because, like, if I'm the Giants, I'm not paying Saquon Barkley $15, $16, $17 million a year. It just doesn't make sense. We continue to see it with these teams. That a lot of these teams are getting smarter now that, hey, we don't need, you know, an elite-level running back. We don't need this. Like, you don't need to go out and spend all this money on running backs. That sucks. But it's time and time again that you don't have to pay these guys. Like, don't pay these guys dumb money because it's not worth it. Like, running backs now probably should be valued around $10 to $12 million a year. But these running backs, they want the, you know, these huge contracts. And outside of really Christian McCaffrey, because of how elite he is as a wide receiver, they don't make sense. Like, if you're not that, like, you don't deserve, you should not be paying running backs this stupid amount of money. And yeah. So, you know, like this year we have this year's free agency class is loaded with running backs. Yeah. You have Saquon, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, Miles Sanders, David Montgomery, Damian Harris, Kareem Hunt, Rashad Penny, Deonta Foreman, Jamal Williams, Raheem Mostert, Samaje Perine, Jerick McKinnon, Latavius Murray. Like, there's a ton of names here in the running back department, and not and even mentioning the draft. So I think first things first when it comes to the running backs, there's a lot of cut candidates out there, I think. Like, I think one of them would be Joe Mixon. They can save, I think, $8 million against the cap by cutting Joe Mixon this year. And they are a team like the Bengals. You talk about the cap space, but that cap space is going to disappear because they have to pay Joe Burrow after 2023. They're going to have to pay T. Higgins after 2023. They're going to have to pay Ja'Marr Chase after 2024. And that's not even talking about all of the other pieces on defense that are coming due. There's a lot of their defense that's coming due this year that they're going to have to make a decision on. And so the good times are coming to an end. They're going to have to start figuring this stuff out. And so, like, I think you probably look to cut a guy like Joe Mixon, who is aging, who is falling off, who is not nearly as efficient. Dalvin Cook is another name that I think that if you're the Vikings, you probably could look at cutting Dalvin Cook. They can save $11 million against the cap this year by cutting Dalvin Cook. Aaron Jones can save $10.5 million against the cap. And if and he is slated to make $20 million this year. There is no shot in hell the Packers are paying Aaron Jones $20 million this year.
Right.
So there's a lot of names running back, even Alvin Kamara. I guess you could possibly look at Leonard Fournette, especially without you know, Tom Brady here. This offense probably needs to be looked at and, you know, looked at what they're going to do here with this team. So there's a lot of just guys that I think that could end up being cut or traded or moved as well on top of these other names. But in terms of the top names like Saquon, Josh Jacobs, I think Tony Pollard, I think are the three kind of top of the line names here in my mind that's available. Where do you think they wind up?
The one that is really, like, I'm really interested to see what ends up happening is Josh Jacobs. Just because, you know, the contract year is undefeated and he just absolutely blew his season's high out of the water, right? 340 rush attempts. Over 1,600 rushing yards, 12 touchdowns. His receiving was largely the same. He was a little bit more efficient than he had been in years past. In the past 2 years, he had 64 targets exactly and was only off by one catch from last year. He had 54 last year, or 54 2 years ago, 53 this year, but he averaged 7.5 yards per reception compared to 6.4 the year before. His touchdowns actually weren't that different. He had 12. He did that in his second year as well. So it's going to be really interesting to see if there's going to be a team that is going to look at that and end up paying him. I think a spot that would be really nice for him would be Buffalo. I don't know if they will end up doing it, but we do know that the Bills had been in on Christian McCaffrey last year. Not comparing the two. That's not what I'm saying, but the fact that, like, they've been trying to get a more productive run game going. Obviously, like I said, they were looking at CMC. They drafted James Cook, traded for Nyheim Hines. So they've been looking for that answer there. At first I was like, man, give me Saquon Barkley on the Bills on that offense. But then, like, thinking about how they use the backs in the passing game. There were 100 total targets this past year to running backs, which is obviously more than enough for Barkley. But I think it fits the bill of somebody like Josh Jacobs better. So I think that could be an interesting spot. Obviously, it's going to largely depend on what the Giants do with Daniel Jones, or if they try and make, like, a bigger splash in the quarterback market, like I said, with somebody like a Lamar Jackson. But it seems like that there is interest in from both sides for Barkley to return back to the Giants. I think Tony Pollard, you know, again, would be another nice fit with Buffalo as well, because then you're also not counting on him to be, you know, a straight up workhorse back where he's going to be getting, you know, 270 carries per game. Obviously, Josh Allen is going to shoulder a lot of that as well. So I think Miles Sanders probably goes back to Philly. I think that's just a really good fit for him. And then, you know, he's someone else who had another career year in his final year as well. And then outside of that, I mean, Monty is, you know, is someone who we have both liked in the past, but he kind of is what he is at this point. Like he's someone who, for fantasy purposes anyway, like needs to have 300 plus touches in order to like really get you excited in terms of the fantasy asset. Then it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Samaje Perine and Joe Mixon. I don't think they necessarily cut him because, you know, they are in a good spot salary cap wise. If they're going to make another run for it, you know, in the Super Bowl next year before they have to start paying these guys, I don't think it necessarily makes like a ton of sense. Obviously, in the free agent market, not a lot of these guys you're looking at that are just like slam dunk upgrades just because of the age, right? And with how Cincinnati was getting Samaje Perine involved, like obviously Saquon Barkley would be sick in that Cincinnati backfield, but it's not like they were peppering, you know, Joe Mixon with 100 targets in the passing game. So just one of these like groups that, like you said, it's loaded, but like where do these guys go? Yeah, I mean, and we're also talking about the running back age cliff as well. And so it's going to be a really interesting offseason to watch. What about you? What do you like here? Where do you think some of these guys go? And do you have any preferred spots?
I do agree. I think Saquon returns to the Giants. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think there's mutual interest there to return. I think they view him as kind of the engine that can still go. Like I said, he had a monster year. I don't know if they're, but the interesting thing is, though, that I think they offered him like a $12 million per year average contract. He turned it down. But I just don't think there's, I mean, of course, there's 32 teams, and all it takes is one team to get crazy and do something, you know, and offer him some crazy contract, which is possible. But I just don't think that would be a smart move. But, you know, I think he could come in around maybe $14 or $15 million a year. He is a good pass catcher, you know, obviously. And so those would be positives for him. He's obviously not Christian McCaffrey. But I still think that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he does return to the Giants. Tony Pollard, I could see Jerry Jones' dumbass franchise tagging Tony Pollard. Like, I could see it happen. Like, he's this guy who's stuck in the 90s of you know, like they had Emmitt Smith and, you know, you need that feature back and like all this stuff, like with Jerry Jones. And so I could see them franchise tagging Tony Pollard, which I wouldn't hate because Mike McCarthy is still there. I think it would be much similar to what we saw last year, and it'd be good for Tony Pollard. But I also could see Tony Pollard going somewhere like Miami. I think he would be a great fit for the Miami Dolphins in that team. They are a team that doesn't really have a running back. We know their scheme is really good. And so I think, you know, when Raheem Mostert's gone, they're kind of a team that have been kind of bringing in a lot of running backs, but I could see Tony Pollard possibly going somewhere like Miami. And I think that would be a really good fit. Tony Pollard, we figured out, is him. He is a very, very good running back, the most efficient running back in the league. Somebody we talked about all offseason. And I think he is arguably, you can make a case he's the best running back available. And I know that may be hot because of Saquon Barkley, but you know, Saquon wasn't necessarily the most efficient running back either. He saw a lot of touches. He was still very good, but Tony Pollard was the most efficient running back in the league last year. And he's still only 25 years old. It's not like he's an older running back. He hasn't had a lot of carries on him. And so I think, you know, you could look at Tony Pollard going somewhere like Miami, and, you know, maybe I'm not sure if Jeff Wilson is a free agent or not. I know he's still there, but I believe he's still there. I don't think he's a free agent, but you know, where it's a, you know, kind of a two back committee where you would have Tony Pollard and Jeff Wilson kind of splitting touches there a little bit. Miles Sanders, I don't know if he returns to Philadelphia, just because I feel like that they feel like that probably Kenneth Gainwell maybe might be that guy. You know, Boston Scott, you know, if they want to bring him back, but or they maybe they bring in another banger type running back like a Jamal Williams. But I could definitely see Jamal Williams going back to Detroit. I think they love Jamal Williams there, and I think he loves Detroit. But you know, maybe a guy like, you know, a Kareem Hunt or, you know, somebody like that, or maybe they could possibly bring in. But so I think that's probably where he winds up. I think, you know, again, Damian Harris probably goes to another team that's looking for a grinder type running back. I don't think any of these other guys are really like featured guys that like, oh man, if this guy goes there. I do think there's some avenues here. Like I think Ramondre Stevenson, big time stock up, unless they do something crazy, which is the Patriots. He's going to be in a great spot next year. I think you look at Nick Chubb is going to be in a great spot this next year without Kareem Hunt. and no to Ernest Johnson for that matter. Like both those guys are free agents. And so both of those guys will be gone. And so Nick Chubb and Ramondre Stevenson are already big winners of this. Now, of course, anything could change. They could draft somebody. They could add somebody through free agency or something like that. But I think right now those two teams, and I think another team to really keep an eye on is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs and what they want to do at running back. Now, they've never been a team that's really, because Jerick McKinnon is a free agent. We have seen Isaiah Pacheco. He actually, in the last couple of games, has actually been the lead back for them. And also in the passing game as well, they've been much more wanting to utilize him in the passing game. Seventh round pick for them. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think, will be on his last year of his deal, but it wouldn't surprise me if they just cut him. Like, he's just not in their plans anymore. They could possibly look to bring Jerick McKinnon back and kind of run that same kind of committee that they did before. But overall, I think right now, I think some other teams, you look at like the Raiders, if they don't bring back Josh Jacobs, I don't think they do. It doesn't really seem like, a move that they would necessarily want to make to bring back Josh Jacobs. And I don't think they should probably look to do that. They did draft Samir White, who's somebody they like. I don't know what they think about him now, but they have a whole other draft cycle that they could go through and draft a running back, and look at something like that. But Josh Jacobs is like the wild card. I don't know where he's going to go, because I think if you also just look at his production this past year, I mean, the man fucking was fed. I mean, he had 80.4% of the total team carries, which is by far the most. The next closest was like 75%. There were only three running backs that had 75% of the team touches. And then the rest, you have to go all the way down to like the 60s. He had an unprecedented amount of this team's backfield. He also had 77% of the team's red zone carries, which is third most among all running backs. He's not going to get that opportunity probably again. And so I think people are going to overvalue Josh Jacobs regardless, because I just don't think he sees that type of opportunity again. I think it was a great year by him, but it's not something that I would look to maintain. I think Josh Jacobs is a good running back. I think he could be maybe like a great running back. He's not elite by any means whatsoever, but I think he definitely had his best year of his career, and I don't think he's going to see the numbers that he posted again, regardless of where he goes.
Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune in to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Each week, we bring you stock market outlooks, macroeconomic updates, and investment strategies that can help you succeed. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience about how they navigate uncertain markets. Prepare to be engaged, enlightened, and entertained by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, man, I agree. I think we can go ahead and move on to the wide receiver free agent class. And, this could end up being just like a 2.5 minute segment, because it is, unlike the running backs, it is pretty thin here. But here are some of the bigger names going into this free agent class: Jacoby Myers, Juju Smith-Schuster, Paris Campbell, Mecole Hardman, Darius Slayton, Al Lazard, DJ Chark, Nelson Agholor, Mack Hollins, Noah Brown, Richie James, DeMarcus Robinson, Greg Dortch, Jarvis Landry, Marvin Jones, and Sterling Shepard. So after we go through this, it might be a little more interesting to see if there's like any kind of wide receivers we could think about that might be trade candidates that might be bigger names. But, Kev, your boy Jacoby Myers, he's obviously the top name here. This is someone who you have fawned over for the past couple seasons. Is there a spot you want Jacoby Myers to take?
I think he's a great fit as a probably like a big slot for a lot of teams. I think that's really where he's been utilized in New England. And He's been really good on an offense that wasn't very good with a quarterback that has struggled. Mac Jones has been okay at best so far, especially this season. And I think that, you know, just kind of trying to think of like spots he could look to go. You know, I think even, you know, like it's tough because like I look at like the Giants, who definitely need a wide receiver, but like I don't think they need a slot because I feel like that's probably where they view Wandale Robinson to play. And so that is probably not a great spot. I mean, I think he could play the outside, but he has done a very good job on the inside for a team. I think maybe you could look at possibly maybe the Arizona Cardinals, who are looking to move on from DeAndre Hopkins. Maybe they bring somebody like him in. You know, depending on what the Chiefs decide to do, you know, really they could look at Jacoby Myers as a possible, you know, kind of if they don't want to bring back Juju Smith-Schuster. But I do feel like that because, I mean, really you look at the Chiefs and they are a team that could be without really any wide receiver outside of Sky Moore because, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster is a free agent. Mecole Hardman is a free agent. And then you also have from there, I mean, they could get out of MBS's contract and save, I think, $10 million against the cap if they wanted to move on from and really heading into before the AFC Championship game, it really looked like that was probably going to be a strong possibility because he did absolutely nothing until the AFC Championship game where he had 6 for 116 and a score. And it was like, okay, where did this come from? Because we haven't seen this all year from MBS. Maybe he earned his way for another year. But right now, the Chiefs, if they don't, if they were to do that, they would have is Sky Moore that and Justin Ross, who they have on an injured reserve, who you know gained a lot of buzz over the offseason, was a guy that you know coming out I think prior to all of his injuries he had at Clemson was a guy a lot of people liked, but like we have no idea what to expect from that. But so past that, that's all they have, and yes, they could use a draft pick on you know a wide receiver, but I also think they could be a team that's looking at a wide receiver now. I think it's possible they bring back Juju Smith-Schuster. I think they really like what he does. They like a wide receiver that can block, and which is something that Juju Smith-Schuster does a very good job of. But Juju, his season this year was okay. And I don't know if he – because he's been dealing with this knee injury for a while, which is what happened in the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. And I think that's a lot of why his production has dropped over the last, like, 4 or 5 games of the season, including the playoffs. And – so I don't know if that will factor in, but he's certainly not going to get the contract that I think that he was hoping for. He's still young. So overall, I think the Chiefs could definitely be a team that could maybe take a look at a guy like Jacoby Myers. I think you look at Mecole Hardman. I think there's a lot of teams that could use his speed. He's not a wide receiver 2. He's a wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4. But like a team like the Dallas Cowboys, I think could actually be a really good fit for somebody like Mecole Hardman who needs speed. They have CeeDee Lamb. But that's kind of it. They're a team that I think they could definitely be looking for a wide receiver as well because they're not going to have Noah Brown. Michael Gallup, you know, looked bad for most of the year, but he was coming off an ACL, and maybe that was really the problem for most of the year, really getting back to kind of the player he was prior to. So he could be a guy that could be, you know, that I think that they could look at there in Dallas. But the rest of these names, I think, are just kind of, you know, whatever. Maybe just, you know, Matt Collins, you know, he actually played pretty well for the Raiders, but, you know, he's a wide receiver 3. You know, Richie James did okay in the slot, but Greg Dortch actually played really well when given the opportunity. But I think the best path for a lot of these teams to get a wide receiver, if they're not going to be able to get one through the draft, is going to be via trade. And we've heard DeAndre Hopkins is definitely going to be available. They're definitely going to look to move him. And I think DeAndre Hopkins could be a really good fit in places like maybe Chicago. Like Justin Fields needs a alpha wide receiver. Like he needs that type of move that we saw for guys like Josh Allen, who when they got Stephon Diggs. And like I think Justin Fields needs that alpha. Like, yes, they still have Darnell Mooney. They traded for Chase Claypool, but they are a team that needs to surround them with talent. And you're not gonna have to give them a first round pick to get DeAndre Hopkins. He's like 29, 30 years old. You're not giving up that type of draft capital, and everyone knows that you're looking to trade him. So if they could trade maybe that late second or third pick, round pick for him, I think I would definitely look to do that to surround Justin Fields with real talent. And then I also think, you know, the Giants would also be a very smart place for somebody like that because they are an up-and-coming team. Like, I don't think some rebuilding team is going to go out and trade for DeAndre Hopkins. I think he's going to go to a true contender. And I think those two teams might make the most sense for where he could land. Now, obviously, the Bears aren't really a contender. But I think they are a team that feels like with all the – but they are the team that has the most cap room to be able to go out and spend lavishly if they want this offseason to be able to upgrade. The problem is, like we mentioned, there's just not a lot of options here, right? Like even like Alan Lazard, like is just a name. Like he's never really been great. He's had moments, and I think he's a fine like wide receiver 3 for a team. but he's not anybody. I mean, DJ Chark had some moments this year, but I don't know really what to expect from him. He could be a team that, you know, if they're looking for a, you know, a field stretcher type wide receiver, you know, you could look for somebody like him to go possibly to a decent spot. But I think overall, I think it's easy to look at a trade. I think Brandon Cooks could be a good fit, maybe for Dallas if they wanted to trade for him. Because I just can't see the Texans holding on to Brandon Cooks for another year. It was close. Sounds like he was going to get traded. They didn't. So I think Brandon Cooks would be another name. But I think the interesting one that's kind of been floated out there a little bit is T. Higgins. And I don't know if the Bengals do it or not. Like, I could see them doing it because they're going to have so much players they're going to have to look to sign over the next couple of years that maybe they want to get another draft pick. But I also think, kind of like we talked about earlier, they are still in a very much a championship window right now to maximize Joe Burrow's contract and Ja'Marr Chase, and they don't really have to make that decision now. But it's tough because it's, because I don't think they're going to have the money to be able to give Joe Burrow some huge contract, to also pay Ja'Marr Chase some huge contract, to also be able to fit T. Higgins into that. I don't know if that's going to be realistically possible to be able to pay two really wide receivers that are going to be looking for wide receiver one type money. I don't know if you're going to be able to do that. So could they move T. Higgins? I don't know, because it's tough for them, because like, if you don't move him now and you lose him via free agency next year, you know, does that make sense? But at the same time, you're also out there trying to find, you know, you're out there trying to compete for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was the one that I looked at, and I was like, and I didn't realize that had also been floated around, because I put it on the show sheet, and I almost thought about erasing it, because I was like, is that really going to happen? Because like you said, they're in this window, but if they don't do it now, like they're going to lose out on that window. So really, really interesting. And not only are you talking about Burrow and Chase, like they're still going to have to do something with this offensive line. We saw last year, you know, kind of took them a while to get going, and they look good, you know, hitting their stride in the middle of the year. But then they had a couple of injuries, and that all just fell apart. Obviously, Kansas City got after it with their pass rush. So, and then, you know, any defensive players they want to pay. So I don't see it, man, unless, you know, they both end up taking like a hometown discount. You know what I mean? And they, you know, they hit on, you know, some like day three draft picks, you know, kind of like what Seattle did this year, right? Where, you know, guys like Tariq Woolen and, you know, a couple of players they had that we weren't really expecting them to ball out. But that's the one that was interesting. I do want to just go back real quickly to Greg Dortch. I am low-key excited about where he might end up. You touched on it slightly, saying, you know, we saw him produce in spots here. When he got the opportunity, man, he played well. He had five games of double-digit fantasy points, 7 for 63 week one against your Chiefs going up against Legarius Sneed. Following week, he went 4 for 55 and a touchdown. The week after that, 9 for 80. And then they had some guys starting to come back and get healthy. He went right back to the bench. Then later in the year, again, when he got the opportunity, going up against San Fran, the vaunted San Fran defense, 9 for 103 with the primary quarter being Jimmy Ward. And then a couple weeks later had a 10 for 98 game as well against Tampa Bay. So it's like he was beating up on, you know, just absolute trash secondaries either. So like I'm excited to see where he ends up. And I think before, you know, any rumors start swirling, if you're looking for like a cheap kind of like dynasty buy, I think I'd be looking at Greg Dortch, because it's not going to cost a ton to get him. He might even be out there on some free agent wires in some leagues, depending on the, you know, the league size and your starting roster requirements and all that. But Greg Dortch is someone who I'm like low-key excited to see where he ends up. And I think the other trade name to throw out, the one that like just jumped out, I was like, well, that makes a ton of sense, especially with everything that's going on with him right now, would be Mike Evans, right? 30 years old, Tom Brady leaving. You know, that's kind of like an older type of team as well. That offensive line needs fixing. Then, you know, Levante David on the other side, I think is what, 33 years old or something like that. So there's going to be a lot of changes coming for Tampa Bay. And I think Mike Evans is a name that definitely needs to be floated out there as a potential trade candidate.
Yeah, I could see that. I could also see possibly Chris Godwin as a name that they could look to move. I know they just re-signed him recently, but you know, I think they're a team that's, again, you know, you kind of got what you wanted out of Tom Brady. You won a Super Bowl. That's the best you can ask for. And without a lot of names out there, players, you're not going to have a high draft pick because of where you drafted. So, I mean, it's tough. Like, they're going to be a team that's going to probably have to bring in some bridge quarterback. You know, maybe they are a team that looks for, you know, a Jimmy G or something like that. But, you know, I think that's a little bit tough of a situation. But so I think either one of their wide receivers could possibly be, you know, with teams that are desperate for wide receivers and not a lot of great names out there in free agency this year. I think you could see that, because what happened was just all these guys got re-signed, right? DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, like a lot of these guys got their extensions last year. So it took all these names off the market this year. And we're just really looking at a lot of like just mid-level wide receivers. I don't even know if there's like really like even a Christian Kirk type wide receiver that's out there, kind of like last year who saw that huge contract. Like,
yeah,
you know, I think Jacoby Myers is a really good wide receiver. And I think he could be a really good wide receiver too on a certain team. And maybe it's the Buffalo Bills that do something like that, because the Bills, we know, like, Gabe Davis isn't hit. Like, he's just not. He's not it. Like, I think he's an okay wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4. Like, that's what he is. He's not probably ever going to develop anything more than that. And we've seen it with the Bills. Like, it's Stephon Diggs, and that's kind of it, right? Like, Josh Allen has to do so much because they don't have anybody else to rely on. And I think they could be a team that is that kind of desperate to go out and try to add somebody. So maybe they are a team that looks to make a trade for somebody. You know, make it kind of a splash move like that. Or, you know, we see a guy, you know, go there. Now, again, there's nobody here that, like, maybe Jacoby Myers would be that a really good fit there, you know, in Buffalo to go play with him. And, you know, he goes play that big slot, because right now they have guys like, you know, Isaiah McKenzie and, you know, Greg or Cole Beasley and like all these names, Jameson guys. Jameson Crowder that they tried to make work into the slot. So maybe Jacoby Myers would be a really good fit there. You know, as an option. You know, I think also Paris Campbell's kind of an intriguing name as well. He actually finally was able to stay healthy this year, and he had some, you know, some bright spots. He had some games where he looked really good, kind of the guy we were always hoping him to be. But, you know, he could be a guy that people take kind of a shot on. But the Colts are a team you could look at, maybe need a wide receiver too, right? They have Michael Pittman. They have Alec Pierce. And they're not going to have Ashton Doolin. He's a free agent as well. And Paris Campbell, both those guys are free agents. They are a team that – the Colts, man, are almost ready built to win, right? They have a great defense. Their offensive line, yes, struggled this year. Maybe make a few changes there. But overall, I still think their offensive line is really good. I think it probably bounces back. I think you also, you know, look at, you know, they still have Jonathan Taylor, who had a little bit of a down year. But overall, you look at the Colts, and they are a team that's ready to win. It's just they don't have that quarterback. And I think this year you see them get that franchise, hopefully, quarterback. You know, now with what I think they have a fourth overall pick, I think something like that. They should have a shot at one of these quarterbacks here. And maybe they're a team that looks to trade up with the Bears. We know the Bears are wanting to trade out of that first overall pick. And I know the Texans, which would be so hilarious if the Texans traded up with the Bears to get the number one overall when they had it right there in their hands. Lovey just gave them the old fuck you and won that game. So they lost that first overall pick. But, you know, I think a team like the Colts could also be in the market for a wide receiver as well, with whoever they draft as a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I think Houston is the – I know you kind of, like, brought them up briefly there, but I think they're definitely another team to watch out for, because they also have the space as well. Like I said, fifth in cap space right behind the Patriots.
Yeah, and I think them too. I mean, they also have what John Mechie, who they never got to see last year because obviously
he's
dealing with lymphoma. So I think he's expected to be back in 2023. They still have Nico Collins. You know, I don't know. I still think, you know, obviously they're going to have their rookie quarterback or whatever rookie quarterback they probably want, whether they, or I guess you say they want, because, you know, teams definitely either going to, if they're not going to trade up, some other team is going to jump ahead of them. But, and we can get into the rookie quarterbacks another time. We're not going to do that today. But right now it's, overall, it's just not a great rookie class. It's not a great wide receiver class. I think the best avenue for these teams is going to be trading for an aging wide receiver. I don't know if there's going to be any like surprise name that we just weren't expecting to get moved. I've seen people talk about like the Colts trading up and trading Michael Pittman, but I'm like, why would we do that? Like, why would the Colts want to trade Michael Pittman? You know, And really, why would the, I mean, I guess I get it. The Bears need a wide receiver for Justin Fields, but I don't know. Like, I just don't know. Like, if I'm the Colts or if I'm the Bears, I just want picks. You know, I'm not looking for a player. And I don't know why, if you're the Colts, you're trading up to get a quarterback, but then you're trading away his best weapon to make that happen.
Right.
And then you have no wide receivers. It's going to be him and Alec Pierce and nobody else. I mean, obviously they could, you know, sign some players, but again, we've just talked about there's nobody else out there. So that move doesn't make any sense to me, but I've seen that floated out there as well.
So let's go ahead and move on to the tight ends, wrap this up. A couple of interesting names here, and then like the wide receiver just really falls off a cliff. Dalton Schultz, he was obviously coming off the franchise tag last year with Dallas. Mike Gesicki, same thing with Miami. Evan Engram was on that one-year deal with Jacksonville. Austin Hooper, Robert Tanyan, Hayden Hurst. And then, of course, you had to throw Dan Arnold on this list and Irv Smith. So, to be honest, man, like the thing that I am most excited about out of this group is the fact that Austin Hooper is a free agent, and that means that Chig Okonkwo can just cook. I'm excited to see what he can do in year two, hopefully being the clear-cut guy. I think Evan Engram going back to Jacksonville makes sense, but like I said, they are in, as of right now, pretty bad cap trouble. So do they, you know, maybe look to the draft, where there are definitely some interesting names this year at tight end, unlike last year? You know, I think Dalton Schultz probably goes back to Dallas just because, like you were touching on, with some of the weapons that they have, or maybe the lack thereof. I think he makes the most sense there. And then, you know, Gesicki will be interesting if he can get to a place that is just willing to just let him basically just be a wide receiver, right? Like, he's not a good inline blocker. He wasn't going to be a good fit for Miami. Then they bring in Tyreek Hill on top of that. So if he can go somewhere where they're just willing to let him just run downfield, you know, maybe like, again, like a Houston, you know, maybe get somewhere like Indianapolis that needs the weapons around here. But outside of that, that's really all I have, man. Is there anything here that sticks out to you?
No. I mean, I think you're right. I think Dalton Schultz probably goes back to Dallas. I mean, it's hard-pressed to see them let him go. You know, he has shown a really strong rapport with Dak Prescott, you know, the last couple of seasons. You know, it was kind of a weird start for the year for him. He was dealing with injuries. But, you know, over the last half of the season, he was kind of one of the main targets there for Dak. And they're just not in a position, I think, they can let him go. They're going to have to make some other decisions. But I do think Dalton Schultz probably does return there. And Evan Engram, I don't know. Like, I could see them bringing him back to Jacksonville. Again, they're a team that's probably going to be able to make some cuts, make some different moves to be able to free up the cap space. But I could see them bringing Evan Engram back. Because, I mean, Evan Engram played, especially there, you know, down the stretch. I mean, he had some really big games for them and really was surprisingly able to stay healthy. Like, that's always been the problem with Evan Engram, that he was never able to stay healthy with the Giants. And now, all of a sudden, you know, with Jacksonville, he comes out in a contract year, really, for him. A big year to really kind of prove it. He comes out and has a really, really good season. And so I could see him maybe going somewhere else, but I could also see him going back to Jacksonville. Mike Gesicki is a guy you mentioned. I think he could be a good fit for a lot of teams, maybe even a team like the Bengals, you know, with Hayden Hurst being gone, him being a free agent, they could be in the market for a tight end. And you talked about the money they had available. You know, I don't think it would cost a ton to sign Mike Gesicki. I don't think he's going to get some huge contract or anything like that. And so, Mike Gesicki, you know, could be another weapon there for Cincinnati to utilize. But I think that's kind of it. Like, Robert Tonyan is whatever. Maybe the Packers look to, you know, sign one of these tight ends as well. They could be a team that looks to do that once they move on from Aaron Rodgers and they're, you know, you have Jordan Love. Because, I mean, the Packers are a team we talked about, but, like, I mean, who do they have? I mean, they have Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. Yeah. And that's it, you know. So I think they're another team that could be looking at, but they're such a weird team. They don't really sign free agents. Everything's through the draft through them. So I don't know if that's actually something they do. But overall, like, I think it's really Dalton Schultz and probably Evan Engram are probably the two big names. And I think Mike Gesicki, depending on the right spot, are the guys. And everybody after that, it's just kind of like whatever. Like, Irv Smith, we've been hoping forever. Like, he's like Eric Ebron, like, at this point, where we just keep hoping and hoping and hoping and hoping and hoping and hoping and hoping that he finally does something, and it never really happens. Dan Arnold, love Dan Arnold. Always love Dan Arnold. But, you know, Hayden Hurst, you know, is just he's okay. Like he's a, you know, a very average tight end. And then you have Robert Tonyan, who had kind of like one half a good season. And then Austin Hooper is just a, you know, really solid average tight end. So overall, I think it's those top three guys. And then, you know, that's probably the list. I think a lot more teams are going to look to invest through the draft. There are some pretty solid names out there, which we'll get to at a later time with the rookie tight ends coming. But overall, I think like Dalton Schultz probably goes back. And then it's probably, you know, Evan Ingram. I still think he probably goes back to Jacksonville.
Yeah, Irv Smith is the Paris Campbell of tight ends, right?
Yeah, we just – you know, but the thing with tight ends, though, it does take these guys a long time to break out. Like, it's not a quick, you know.
Look at David Njoku, the fifth-year breakout, right?
Yeah, no, he was a guy I loved this year. I was all over David Njoku heading into this year, and I thought he was a steal, and people thought I was crazy, and played really well in that offense. And
until Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, and maybe the Browns are a team, too, that we haven't really talked about or maybe could be looking. Because right now, I mean, the Browns, you look at them, and they're – I mean, they're not going to be a team that needs a tight end. But, I mean, they could be a team that's in the market for a wide receiver because they have Amari. And then they have Donovan Peoples-Jones, who I really like. But they don't really have that third wide receiver. So they could possibly – I know they drafted David Bell, but he never really turned in anything this year. Did absolutely nothing. Because, I mean, this – so, like, the rookie class at wide receiver, I think, you know, you had Garrett Wilson, who's a stud, and I think that – is going to be a stud. And I think you have Chris Olave, who I also think is a stud. You know, and Drake Burks London
had his moments.
Yeah, and Treylon Burks and John Dotson showed really well. But then there's a lot of these second round, though, guys didn't really work out that way. Christian Watson finally came on at the end. But, I mean, Tyquan Thornton with the Patriots, I don't know. Like, you know, there was – I think he had, like, one or two games where he was, like, had a touchdown or something like that. And it was just kind of very mid, you know – George Pickens, I don't know if he's actually going to – I mean, I love George Pickens coming out, but he didn't really do a whole lot either this year either in that offense. Now, that offense didn't look very good in Pittsburgh, and maybe George Pickens takes a year or so. Because the one thing I will say is that wide receiver used to be a position that we – that used to be like, okay.
Third year breakout,
right? And you want to give people time. But, like, we don't do that anymore. If they don't break out their rookie year, we immediately cast them off. They're dead to us. They're done. Move on. Because, like, Sky Moore is very similar to that, right? Like, Sky Moore was a player that a lot of people liked coming out. I liked Sky Moore a lot when he was coming out. But he did absolutely nothing with the Chiefs this year. Like, nothing. He had the big punt return in the conference championship game. But other than that, nothing. Like, he didn't even score a touchdown this year. He really was real – I mean, he was not good at all. But – situations may change and maybe he's able to develop, but like overall, like, you know, a guy like David Bell, again, which is a guy I hated because he looks like a dad runner out there and wasn't athletic at all. But overall, I think, you know, for a lot of these spots, I think there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be looking for, you know, wide receiver twos, wide receiver threes type of options. So this free agency class, at least offensively, isn't great. But I think we'll probably get some surprise trades, you know, like AJ Brown last year has kind of came out of nowhere a little bit. I think the likeliest candidates for that could be like a T Higgins. But again, we kind of talked about that. Do they actually do that or not? Because that would be a pretty big move for them to make that kind of trade to do something like that. Whenever they're a team that's in a, like a Super Bowl or a, you know, playoff contender, you know, type situation, I think that would be kind of crazy for them to do something like that. So with that being said, you know, I appreciate everybody rocking with us. Again, you know, we talked about it at the beginning of the show, but these podcasts are going to come much more frequently, hopefully every week. We're going to start getting into more different conversations. Maybe we'll start talking about some dynasty stuff. We're going to definitely start getting into the NFL draft. We're going to start getting some guests on. So that should be really good. A lot of other stuff. Really after the Super Bowl next week, I mean, this all moves pretty quickly. 2 weeks after that, you have the NFL Combine. 2 weeks after that, you have the NFL draft, or you have the NFL free agency that's going to start. So, and then after that, you know, about a month after that, we'll have the NFL draft. So, all this is going to move really quickly. Keep it locked in here. Like I said, we're going to get some guests in here, and we got a lot of stuff to discuss next week. We're going to do some, I believe, some dynasty buys and sells. Maybe get a guest or two on here as well. So, dynasty season is upon us. I know all the dynasty people are happy. This is their time to shine. You know, this is when the dynasty content is off the chains. So we're going to get involved with that. We're going to talk about some players you should be looking to buy or sell in your dynasty league. So again, keep it locked in here. Make sure you subscribe anywhere you are listening to this, whether it's Apple, whether it's Spotify, Amazon Music. We're pretty much everywhere. So make sure you give us a rating and review. We appreciate everybody checking it out. We will see you guys next week.
Closing time, open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time, turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time, one last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I know.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.